I think the best disses have like perfect mixes of PG and hard R rated stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
Like if I call you a cheese whiz motherfucker, you'll be like, what the hell? Like, whoa.
Yeah. No, that's very effective.
It's like that dude just flamed me. Like, what just happened? And then I'd like walk out. I'd be like, and that's the end of you, cheese whiz motherfucker. And I'd just be like, what? And I'd just leave.
You're listening to Instead Of, a hypothetical podcast with Mike Bogart, Tappan Johnny, and me, Josh Harrison. Do you think that Lou Bega had four other mambos that weren't as successful because he just had the wrong recipe?
Recipe? Do you know what mambo is?
Well, when you listen to the song, it's like a little bit of Monica is what he needs.
Right.
Whoa!
Right.
Whoa! Whoa! Do you think he's adding them into like some sort of mixture to cook?
Did he have like a little bit of Harriet and a little bit of Bertha and Tabitha or something? That's no good.
Like he had them in the wrong proportions.
Right. But he tried Monica in like mambo number 3 or 4 and he's like, oh, that's good. I got to remember that for next time.
Like I got enough Monica, not quite enough. Who's that? Like Sylvia? No, it's not a sexy name. Like Jessica, I need a little more Jessica in mambo number 4.
Do you think maybe he was monogamous before that? Like mambo number 1 was just 100% Danielle, but he never sold any singles because the whole song was only like 30 seconds long.
Where's this bit coming from? What's Mike? You just accept this new definition of what mambo number 5 is? You really jumped in on that whole train.
I guess I just have like a continuous Lou Bega like train of thought going since mambo number 5. I've never not thought about him.
You have definitely brought up Lou Bega more than anyone I've ever met.
It comes up. I mean, it comes up a lot. It's a roller rink staple. I've been to roller rink once, but you just think about it. Like it's a popular song of my youth and I want to know what's going on with him.
Josh, why are you bringing this up? What's going on?
Oh, I don't know. I was just wondering what you guys thought.
I wonder what the guys will think about this mambo number 3 and 4 bit. What are some names? Bertha.
I mean, I like it.
Okay, well, I also like it. I'm just having fun at both of your expenses. I think this was the 5th and most perfected. I don't want to say the word recipe because I don't think, again, that he's like, you know, this is not like a cookbook.
Isn't it? Why is it the 5th? What's wrong with the other 4?
Because exactly for the reasons you guys are saying, you know, there were people in the original lineup that just weren't going to produce 100% team chemistry.
That's true. It's like when you have cheerleaders and they make that pyramid, like that teamwork needs to be impeccable.
Yeah, like
I mean, a pyramid is not a mambo, but still.
But it could be if it's 5 layers tall.
Oh my God, could you imagine the coordination that would be required to do a pyramid of people mamboing?
Wait, hold on. What if when he says a little bit of Monica by my side, he's actually just trying to get her to be in a specific part of the pyramid?
There it is.
There it is. He solved it. That was an absurd claim. And you're like, bingo.
Are we talking about a sex pyramid?
No.
Aren't we?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride. They're going to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but he really doesn't wanna.
Oh, there's boys there.
There's boys.
Okay.
Beer bust like I had last week. I must stay deep because talk is cheap.
Wait, what does that mean?
Beer bust like I had last week. I must stay deep because talk is cheap.
This is let's make this the last thing about mambo number 5. But what, Mike, can you solve this riddle of what beer bust means?
Beer bust. Like I had last week. No! What does it mean? Beer bust. Like he had just like low quality beer? beer bust. Like my beer busted. Like it was like old style. It was bad beer.
Okay.
We have had 12 episodes of like the deepest creative output that at least I've ever had in my entire life. But this is the stumper that grinds us to a halt.
I mean, Josh, for real, I have no idea what Lubega could have meant by that line.
The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna.
Beer bust.
Beer bust like I had last week. I must stay deep because talk is cheap.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Like he just. Okay, the boys say they want some gin and juice, so they want like a cocktail.
Right.
Sure.
They want like some hard liquor. Beer bust.
But they're at the liquor store. Remember that. They're not like at a club yet.
Lubega really doesn't want to at the liquor store. He doesn't want any gin juice. Beer bust. Like I had last week. So like he got drunk on beer last week and it was bad.
Okay.
I must say deep. Because talk is cheap. It's just this is just like four non sequiturs in a row.
Hang on a second. I am on. Here we go. Here we go. I'm on genius.com looking up the meanings of Lubega's lyrics.
Ooh, thank God.
Okay, here we go. Apparently, in like the radio edits, gin and juice was Disney versionified to ice cream.
Mike, sure. Can you sing that line back with ice cream instead?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody in the car, so come on, let's ride. The liquor store around the corner.
It's No, that's candy store. That's candy store in the Disney version.
Wait, no, finish it, finish it.
To the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some ice cream. But I really don't want to. I might stay deep because talk is cheap.
Wait, what happened to the...
No, beer bust line.
Oh, shit.
So anyway...
The boys say they want some ice cream.
Okay, yeah, okay, go ahead, Josh.
A beer bust is a wild beer-only fueled party.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess we've had ourselves some beer busts in our day.
Sounds like a bad time.
I wonder how many of our listeners have had their own beer bust that they didn't even know about until they heard this definition. Damn, I've been busting beers.
I don't like that Lubega defined it. I feel like that's why we've never heard of it.
What if he's like he was the first like wacky attempt at the Dos Equis man, and they're like, we got to go in the complete other direction with this, you guys. Give me like a cool, mostly quiet, like much stronger and more handsome motherfucker, because we have proven this Lubega beer endorsement is not going to go anywhere. Speaking of music, I have an actual instead of, if you guys would like to do that still on the show.
Hey, I'm all about it.
Okay, so both of you are familiar with Taylor Swift, and I take it her new song. Have you heard it?
Yes.
I have heard it.
Cool. So the beat for that song is from that like song way back when of I'm Too Sexy for My Insert Possession.
Right Said Fred?
That's right. Right Said Fred.
Yeah,
no, that's him. Yeah, you killed it. So listen to this.
Good work.
So I was sitting with my roommate, and we were yelling at Alexa, and we said, Alexa, play some Right Said Fred. And this song came on. Sorry. The song came on called Upon My Heart. Mm. That was the name of it.
Mm. Okay.
We let it play for a little while, and I looked over at my roommate, who is just a generally funny guy. And he just looks at me and he goes, sorry, he goes, so fucking lame, dude. like crushed by how bad it was. And then like, the song had like lyrics like, and I quote, this is a love song for you, a white dove song for you.
Oh my God.
And so like we listen to more of the songs because like the playlist keeps going, and it turns out I'm Too Sexy is like a complete aberration in his entire catalog. He's way more of like a sensitive, quiet man.
Oh.
And so now let me ask you guys. So instead of Right Said Fred, who would you be most surprised to find out wasn't like their outward persona or like what they're known for?
Exhibit.
Fucking awesome. Great answer. Oh,
Mike, that really got you, man.
Yeah, dude, that was... Oh, I hope it's Exhibit. Please elaborate.
Could you imagine if Exhibit, like, he didn't like cars, he didn't like rapping, he just, like needlepoint was really what he did in his spare time?
What if he had, like, a passion...
Oh, my God, Pimp My Curtains?
He's just really, really into needlepoint. Man.
That's a tough life. That's tough to reconcile. That's a good answer.
That was a good answer.
Mike, do you have one?
I just, about an hour ago, have you guys ever watched on VH1, there's a show where Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart host a potluck every week? That show is fucking awesome.
Hang on. Let me enjoy having learned that for the first time. Just give me a second.
You haven't seen it?
So I didn't know that they did a show. I remember seeing like a GIF, I think, of like Snoop dancing next to her. And I thought it could have been like a Photoshop or something, but
yeah, no, they just host a potluck like TV show together where I watched the pilot today, which is they cook chicken wings for Seth Rogen and Wiz Khalifa with special guest Judge Ice Cube. And it's fucking awesome. It's a great show.
Wait, I really want to watch this.
It's an amazing show, honestly. You should. It's on VH1.
Okay, so go on.
Well, I guess, you know, you wouldn't think about Martha Stewart hanging with Wiz and Snoop, but she's real about jail. She talks about what jail is like. Also,
think it comes up. It comes up in the show.
It comes up in the fucking pilot.
Yes.
You know what else comes up? Okay, let me give you. So they play.
Yes.
They're making chicken wings, right?
Right.
So they play two thighs and a truth.
How does that game work?
Martha Stewart.
Because I feel like if you provide two pieces of meat and then a statement, it's pretty obvious which is the statement.
Right. It's a very ill-conceived segment. But do you want to guess what's true about Martha Stewart?
Yes.
All right. I'm just gonna do this off the dome because I'm not going to look up what her things are. But she was born in Poland, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Martha Stewart has been struck by lightning 3 times.
Okay.
Are we counting her TV shows and books?
Yeah. You are.
Okay.
Or Martha Stewart. Shit, hold on.
I wonder if this is a made up one, Tappan.
This one is really important, Mike.
So Martha Stewart has...
Jesus. You have the biggest tell in the history of games.
Martha Stewart is doing okay after her custody agreement with Black China.
Okay, so obviously Martha Stewart does not have a custody agreement with Black China.
Okay, that's Rob Kardashian. Fair enough.
I know that, so okay. Josh, your turn, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think she's been struck by lightning 3 times. Of the 2 remaining ones, the fact that Martha Stewart was born in Poland seems like the most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Tappan?
I'll take the other side. I'm going to say she's not at all from Poland.
Martha Stewart has been struck by lightning 3 fucking times.
Oh, my God.
I knew it.
3 times in her life, she's been struck by lightning.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
That is insane.
Yeah.
Through her sink while she's like
what?
Cooking. Yeah.
Hang on. explain to me what you mean by that.
It has everything to do with her like cooking career. She watched lightning strike like the tree outside her kitchen window, and it came like through her pipes and hit her in the chest, and she was like poof, knocked off her feet, fucking struck by lightning through her sink. Martha Stewart survives.
Dude.
3 times.
You cannot give the most badass story in the history of getting struck by lightning.
I can't even tell. You should watch the episode.
And attribute it to Martha Stewart. Everyone should know this about Martha Stewart.
Dude, she's a G.
She's Superman.
Yeah. She's been hit by lightning 3 times. And then she said, not counting the other times I've been electrocuted.
Okay. Okay.
Dude, I love her.
She's been electrocuted by other things.
I love her now.
I've been quiet for a minute and a half because I've been literally speechless. Like, my mouth has just been open and words haven't been able to form.
Really a great skill for podcasting.
Sure. How many times has she been electrocuted in any capacity? Capacitor.
Like 4+. Capacitor. This week, I have been going to Riot Fest, which is a Chicago festival, 3-day festival. It's my first music festival I've ever been to. 29 years old.
Whoa, hang on. We went to one.
We went to Lollapalooza its first year back when it was a 1-day in Dinley Park, and it was amazing. We saw do you remember Officer Booty?
What?
I do not remember Officer Booty.
You don't remember Officer Booty?
Who's Officer Booty? I remember that we were at a music festival and spent like 2 hours in the Xbox tent winning copies of the game Brute Force.
Okay, first of all, that's one of the best things I've ever done.
Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. I enjoyed it. I really did.
Win the Xbox tournament at Lollapalooza.
We were like 13.
That's a lifelong achievement.
So I Googled Officer Booty, and the only thing that's coming up is like sexy cop Halloween costumes.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Oh, that's all it is.
That's exactly what she was. She was just like a pretend cop who had like a really big butt. And she shook it. Officer Booty. She was great.
Okay.
I was 14. But yeah, I went to Riot Fest. I'm going to Riot Fest this weekend.
Wait, it's currently happening right now, and you are recording early so you can go later.
I'm taking off from Riot Fest to record this, yes.
Okay, thank you for doing that, Mike.
Sure, I'm missing some fucking luminary bands.
Thought you were going to say Lou Bega.
Well, how do you feel about the voluptuous horror of Karen Black?
What does that mean?
It sounds cool. I have no idea. It sounds like a cool band, but I'm missing them right now. Anyway, so we were at Riot Fest on Friday night, and they had, weirdly, I've never seen this before, but they had one stage set up exactly next to the other stage. Like, they're connected. And they just, like, alternated times so that, like, they figured people who like this band will also like this band an hour and a half later.
This is like a recommendation on like a website.
Right. So you never have to leave and like lose your spot.
Yeah. Warped Tour does that too.
Yeah. So we were watching, we were watching this band called Ministry on Friday.
Okay.
So we watch them. They're leading a headliner on Friday night is Nine Inch Nails. So like a classic industrial, like angsty, just like Trent Reznor, everyone knows what Nine Inch Nails is.
Isn't Ministry that group that was on the Matrix soundtrack, though?
I think they were, yes.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what Ministry was.
Mike, you're not surprised that Josh knew that Ministry was on the Matrix soundtrack?
I'm very surprised because we looked him...
That's the nerdiest thing you've ever said.
I loved The Matrix way back in the day. I had almost the entire movie memorized, like me and another friend of mine.
It is amazing that you... Oh, this is perfect dovetail to my story. Please continue.
I mean, that's kind of it. Like, me and another friend had it almost memorized, and basically we could just like recite the entire movie.
Dude, Yes.
Which is pretty much as good as just watching it to other people, I would imagine, which is why we did it all the time.
Oh, my God. Wait, you performed for others?
No, not actually, but...
Oh, God damn it. That's so funny.
So, okay. We show up to the show. We know Nine Inch Nails is coming, and they're like famous band. Ministry is up there, and they had like the lead singer is one of those guys with like he has really really long like white dreads and also face tattoos.
Oh boy,
it's kind of like if you mix Nine Inch Nails with Korn, but then you just lowered the skill level very even lower.
You're really going after Ministry.
They were bad. They were bad. They were bad. But so we were like, who the hell is Ministry? This is weird. And when we were at Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor was like, we're so honored to share the stage with one of our biggest influences ever, the band Ministry.
the band.
I'm on their Wikipedia page. They were formed in 1981.
1981. The man in front of the stage, who I thought was tops my age, 29, face tattoos, dreads like down to his ass. Like, their lyrics were something about like they're shitting lies out of their eyes, but they kill people for fun, so who cares? That man is 58 years old.
Oh my God.
The lead singer of that band is 58 years old.
Are you more impressed by the fact that he says these words in public at 58 or that he's in outrageously good shape?
I mean, I honestly thought he was like 29 tops. That guy is killing. That guy's in great shape.
So you like him now?
I'm a fan of his routine. I'm not a fan of like shitting lies out of your eyes, but if it keeps you fit.
Do you want to know his nicknames?
What's his real name?
His real name is Alejandro Ramirez Casas. He was born in Cuba.
Okay.
Okay.
Also known as the Alien. Alien Jorgensen.
Wait.
Hypoluxa.
Dude, yes!
Dog. Alien Dog. Star. Buck Satan. Uncle AI. Enchanted AI.
Dude, when I looked him up, the name I came up with was Al Jorgensen. I'm like,
oh. Al was short for alien.
Okay, that's actually right. It's not Uncle AI, it's Uncle Al.
Oh my God.
God damn it.
Oh my God. One of you can't read, the other one thinks Al is Alfred.
No, I mean, it's like. It's on Wikipedia, so it's very difficult to tell the difference between a capital I and a lowercase l.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow. Mike, so based on what you now know about Alien Jorgensen, did you have an instead of question attached to that story?
I did, actually, yes. So... Actually, it had nothing to do with it. Well, later on that stage was the band New Order.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like a new wave, one of the first new wave punk bands, I gather.
Yeah.
Well, were they on the Matrix soundtrack, Josh?
No. Do you not know New Order?
No, I don't, but I just wanted to say that.
New Order did Blue Monday.
They're like a famous band, right?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about them.
Do you not know that song, Tappan?
I don't think I do.
Blue Monday. I knew it, like, when I was there, I knew the songs. But it was, like, these really, like, older, like, 65-plus fellas. And we were standing really close, and we decided to leave to go see Vic Mensa. But we came back because Nine Inch Nails was playing on the same side. And I swear to God, like, I just had this image of New Order, even though they were playing like very like kind of synth poppy up tempo stuff that was like nice. At the end, I swear to God, this man who's been like, he's been very concerned about his back pocket mic the entire show for an hour and a half. He's like trying to get the sound guy to come over. He's like, hey, he's like 65. He's done with this shit. He's like, just give me some help. I swear to God, at the end of the show, he goes, thank you. It's been a great riot fest. Fuck you, Chicago. And I'm like, that's what I heard. Did he just say, fuck you, Chicago? Did he just say that? I swear to...
Did anyone else notice?
Everyone's just... I was like, is that just like a punk band thing? Is it just like, eat shit, Toronto? Fuck off, Dallas. Is that just a thing that like punk bands say? So my instead of was, what would your band sign off be? Instead of, fuck you, Chicago. Oh, how God. Would you sign off your band?
You're all cheese whiz motherfuckers.
You can't just steal lines. Come up with your own.
It doesn't have to be like some catchy saying you say. Just like, what would you? What would be like the way you end your show?
Thank you.
Just thanks.
You've been great.
Hey, this is a perfect time for me to mention that last week when Smoove was over at the house, I walked in the door and it was just eating like plain tortilla chips by themselves. No salsa, no nothing. Just like,
okay, I thought there would be salsa. I'm not going to let it go to waste.
I thought there would be salsa.
Maybe that should be your sign off.
There wasn't.
So he's just sitting there eating tortilla chips. It was hilarious. All right, so I need a sign off.
See, what would be like just the way you end your shows?
This is tough. It's a tough question. You know, I didn't realize, but like, I guess every rock star has thought about this, right?
You want to have like, yeah, your kind of signature.
I've always been a fan of the one by one peel off that ends in like the drummer doing like a ballistic,
yeah,
insane solo. Maybe I'd do that. Oh, and then when the drummer left, I just drop a big flag that said, "Have a good night, guys."
Do you remember when we were in eighth grade and we were walking to Walgreens from my mom's house, and we walked by that new cement they were pouring a new curb by my house.
Vaguely, we took that trip like a zillion times.
Yeah, but we did. We wrote in the concrete, "Follow the rules."
That's Simpsons inspired, right there. Good for us.
It was a Canadian graffiti joke. Yes, we were smart.
I wonder if you could like screw with the audience by saying like, "Thank you so much. If you cheer enough, the house will let us do a second encore."
That happened last night. Queens of the Stone Age was playing.
Oh, dude, how was that?
It was amazing, but they like were kind of burning through like their classics, you know, early. And I was like, what are they gonna do for their encore? And they were supposed to go till 10. It was like 9:50, and then they just left.
Oh no!
And like everyone was standing there. Yeah, they're like, woo, yeah, like obviously. This is just like the song and dance we do to get to the encore. And they never came.
Oh, no.
They never came. Everybody just left.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Did they start playing like weird music when they turned the lights on?
Yeah, they just played like elevator music.
What would you guys, here's a on the fly instead of, what would you guys use to get people out of where you are played through the loudspeakers fastest?
Oh, one of these.
One of what?
I'd play an episode of...
Oh my God. That's ridiculous. They would be entertained.
Like at a 4 a.m. bar, be like, oh, this fucking idiot. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, I might start just doing like a Fred Stoller type voice and just reciting facts about stuff. Did you know that cicadas come out every 17 years? I know. It's pretty great, huh? That's what I do. I did that one.
So I have...
Josh?
I guess I should probably answer that, huh?
If you have it.
I think that you could...
Are you at all aware, like, about what we're doing at the moment?
Well, I was thinking about a segue, because my next topic is relevant. I would probably play like the least, the most dissonant music to whatever was going on that night. So like if it was a Britney Spears concert, then I would play Ministry. And if it was the end of Ministry's set, then I would play Britney Spears.
It would have been great if you picked someone who wasn't Britney Spears, like a Google Translate, and then you translated back to the original language and it's the wrong word.
So that has actually happened at work. We release new DLC for Rock Band, and people write articles about what the new DLC is.
For folks who don't know, DLC is...
downloadable content. It's like you pay $2 and you get an extra song that you can play in the game. And so people write stories about it, and there are news sites that make a living off of ripping off other people's things, and they do that by putting it into Google Translate and translating it back. So like we had like this pop pack for New Year's or something like that, and Lady Gaga was in it, and it translated back to a different language and back to English as Woman Gaga. There were others that had like really similar terrible translations.
It's a pretty different career.
I have a news story that is related to music festivals.
Okay.
This is written in like a very British way, even though it is an American.
Excellent. Love it.
I'm going to read it in a really bad British accent because that'll be a thing that'll go over well.
Oh, I can't wait.
Wait. Before you start this, this is the perfect time for me to crack open my Diet Coke. I am ready to enjoy the show. Let's do it.
Dude, that was audio pleasure.
When you go to a music festival, there are expectations.
Holy shit. I almost spit out the Diet Coke.
There are expectations that come with the mud-trodden territory.
Oh, God.
You won't sleep.
So bad.
Keep going.
You will start to smell of cider on day two. You will be forced to survive on overpriced food trucks for 72 hours. And you will spend hours in...
this is the worst!
...in queues waiting to pay 12 quid for a G&T.
This hurts so much! Ow, my toes!
Okay, I'm just going to say the rest normally.
Okay, God.
At most festivals, bringing in your own alcohol is a big no-no. For one seasoned festival goer, this was simply an unacceptable fate. 3 weeks before New York City's popular Electric Zoo Festival took place, Alex Diamond visited the festival site and buried a water bottle filled with vodka wrapped in a plastic bag for good measure. He pinned the burial location on Google Maps so he'd remember exactly where the bottle was located. When the savvy consultant attended the festival on the 2nd of September, he returned to the spot where the bottle had been buried and successfully retrieved it, after which he presumably enjoyed many celebratory and tax-free drinks.
Hell yeah, he did.
He documented the heist in a Facebook post, which promptly went viral. He has since created a separate page on social media platforms named Festival Pro Tips.
Oh, what a cash-in. What a fucking penny. That's, oh.
Now it's my turn to share with the general public my knowledge of achieving an awesome festival experience. My question...
smuggling.
Yeah. So my question to you, instead of burying vodka underground, what are the longest lengths that you've gone for something like incomparably small?
Ask that again. I don't understand what you're asking me.
Instead of... what this guy did, instead of burying vodka underground, like going to great lengths just so that he could save, like, you know, $25 on drinks, it, like doing that a week ahead of time, when have you done something similar that is like going way above and beyond just to have very minimal gains down the road?
Yes. Yeah, so the reason I asked you to clarify is because what you've described is most of my life.
Like, I was going to say, yeah.
The decisions I make are so short term, and like just they're clearly the wrong decisions. I'll drive like 10 miles out of my way to go to the cheaper gas station, like just the dumbest shit. And like I can't think of a single example that would explain it well enough because it happens every day.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
No. I got something. Give me 20 seconds. Hold on. I gotta pee.
What?
I'll think of something while I'm going.
What the hell just happened? Did he just... I mean, if he's doing this, can I go change the laundry from the washer to the dryer?
No.
know.
We're recording a goddamn podcast. Is it that hard to just like...
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the rules were. Mike's leaving. You know, sometimes you get quiet. You know, just because Mike's gone, we could still tell your story. Have you done anything like that?
Not for anything like inconsequentially small. I used to live in Connecticut, like an hour and a half away from like...
I really miss Mike so much. Sorry. Connecticut. Go ahead. The most exciting of locations. Let's do it. Here we go. Connecticut.
And I just used to like, it was an hour and a half to get to like work and friends' houses and everything. It was like me and my ex living down there. And so I made a lot of like hour and a half long each way car rides for like going out to dinner with a buddy or something.
Dude, how little do you value these people's friendship? That sounds like it's totally worth doing.
I don't know. Like, people that I saw on a...
Did you hate dinner? Like, it's just...
No, people that I saw on a regular basis.
You made a sacrifice to go see who you liked. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Wow, these poor people. I hope none of them are listening to the podcast.
I don't know. Sorry, Kyle.
Blasted all of them. You named somebody? Holy hell. Oh... Now I'm really sorry, Kyle, man. You know, you don't deserve to have a shitty friend like Josh. I'll be your friend, man.
What's up, Kyle? Hey, guys. Sorry, I'm back.
Hey, Mike, don't just jump back in and say sup to Kyle.
I didn't know what to do. Sorry.
It's okay. It's fine. You know what? You could. It makes sense.
So, since you took time.
So, now that you're back, yeah, we told the story while you were gone, so why don't you go ahead and start your story?
Okay. So remind me of-
When have you done something big for very small returns?
So I have a feeling this is coming up for me. I
It's like he won't learn the moral of the story.
No. I know the moral I'm about to learn, but like I just have to learn it for myself.
This one time I bought tickets to Riot Fest and I skipped Riot Fest to record a podcast.
By the way, I'm the least cool Riot Fest guy ever. I wear it like a knee brace and my orthotics to fucking festival.
Do you wear a Life is Good t-shirt?
If I had one, that's a Matthew McConaughey brand, right? Like, he knows what's up.
No, I don't think it is. I think that's a different brand. No.
Something else. Oh. Either way, I mean, I wore a deep V on Friday, and it was like, I felt so out of place. I thought like, you know, like Lollapalooza, there's like so many just like kids who are like 15, 6, they're like just, it's uncomfortable how young they are. So I'm like trying to be young, but at Riot Fest, it's just like everybody has eyebrow piercings, they're all wearing like combat boots and like... Everybody's just in all black, and I showed up in like my deep V and my Sperry's. I'm like, I do not belong here.
Oh, so then how is this leading to your bad decision?
My bad decision was going to Riot Fest at all.
Wait, you enjoy yourself? Wait, aren't you? Sorry, you're right about to go back. Like, we're almost, the podcast will end in like 2 seconds. Like,
here's the thing. It's kind of combo with my decision to run the Chicago Marathon, which I did not like really plan for. I was just like, like, that seems like just something you do after you live here for a while. I've lived here for 11 years, and it seems like people just do this. So I was like, yeah, I'll just do that. And I decided to do the Chicago Marathon last, like, November without really thinking about what that actually means for my real life. So I haven't... It's on October 8th. It's in 3 months. 3 weeks. It's in 3 weeks. And, like, I have blown off 80% of the training. I have not... Like, I was over it by July, like, when my program really started. So I have not trained. I'm not ready.
Is the Chicago Marathon one of those where they like digitally track your bib number so that we can watch you online and watch how you're doing?
Oh, can we track you?
You, everyone who listens to this.
Maybe we should live stream it.
Okay. I don't want to say this, but everyone who listens to this podcast can watch me like step by step as I go. If you really want to, you can track me as I... As
we will run. Tweet his yes. bib number.
Oh, please. Oh.
On at instead of FM.
I don't think... I've known Mike for a long time, and I don't think there's any one thing he would dislike more than what you are going to do. So
honestly, there's nothing more I hate than like people knowing who I am. So this really sucks.
Why are you doing a podcast then?
I don't know.
Okay, hang on. This is getting away from us a little bit. So Mike is not training for the podcast, but he is going to people gatherings of people wearing combat boots and watching music instead. So, okay, I get it.
Sure.
So let me ask you this, Mike. Is there any training you could do while you're at Riot Ooh. Fest?
That would, like, improve my podcasting.
No, improve your marathon preparation.
God damn it.
What's more important?
The marathon.
Honestly, yeah, I might die.
You're going to run for a long time.
I could honestly die.
You're not going to die. Although if you do, and it's like the first live streamed bib tracking death, it might do big things for the pod.
So I have a nemesis.
Right, right.
Sure.
Of course. Why not? Why not?
When I moved to the city and I started grad school, I went to this gym, and there's this guy. So I ran DePaul track. I ran DePaul track, and I started grad school, and I went to this gym with this guy who had a UIC track T-shirt on.
Hey, go UIC!
Go UIC! Go Flames!
Go Flames!
Go Flames! He was like 15% more handsome than me. He's 15% like just like stronger than me. He's clearly 15% like faster than me. Obviously, he must be like in meds. He's like 15% smarter than me.
Is that it?
He's better than me. He's better than me in every way.
By 15%.
By 50, like he's not that much better than me. He's just like,
if he's in med school, he might be 15 more than 15% smarter okay. than you.
He's okay. In that one, yeah.
Wait, stop, guys. So Mike has brought up his nemesis to me before in private life, and I looked up the guy.
Yeah, because I hate that guy.
And he is exactly 15% more than Mike at everything.
He's just exactly me. Just 15% better in every possible way.
Can we give him a name?
No.
I don't remember his...
Because we're definitely going to fuck it up later.
Like... I don't remember his real name. But so I ran... So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do like a marathon this year. This is like my big like personal achievement year, right? Like I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to do this thing. It's going to be a big thing for my life. And I run a training race, a 5K in May. And I run it. I'm doing pretty well. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, this is probably my best race ever. I ran like a 20 shit. I don't know when I ran, but I ran like a decent race. I get home. I go on the fucking website. You know who won the fucking race? You know who won the whole race of like 5,000 people?
Ooh.
My fucking nemesis won. The one fucking guy I've ever hated in my whole life.
So wait.
Beat everyone.
Wait. Hang on. So out of 5,000 people, does that mean you came in like 800-ish?
I came in like 800th place.
Okay, so he is 15% better.
He's like, what? He's 15% better than me. At all times, no matter what.
Wait, guys.
He fucking won.
Okay. What name is 15% better than the name Michael? That can be our alias for this guy. Mike, do you have any name envy of anybody?
Not like Hunter.
Oh, we know a Hunter. Hunter is fucking awesome, but he's unfortunately...
I would love to be a Hunter.
Hunter is more than 15% better than you, dude. I'm sorry.
No, it's not even close, honestly.
Mike has a really generic name. So, yeah, you're right. Hunter is probably like 50% better than Mike.
You know what would really sting? Is like fucking like Matt. Just like.
That's true. It is like.
My life could be so much different if I was just fucking Matt.
Oh, God.
Matt Bogart. That guy is killing it.
That guy is definitely doing slightly better than you are. All right. You know, all I can really say is, Matt, you know, if you want to do the pod, there's a we can hold open auditions. You just have to go up against Mike.
Oh, fuck off, dude.
I mean, he won't have to because Mike's going to die during this marathon.
Oh, yeah, he'll be fine. I'll die 3 weeks from now. Good luck.
What if he dies just before? From trying too hard.
Or he gets 15% further than you.
Okay, so you are rightfully worked up about this, but we need to tie it back to the premise of the show somehow.
Instead of.
Yes, please.
So instead of him being 15% better than you in everything, what is one thing that you are 100% convinced you are better than him at?
Now, that's how you make an instead of question, Mike.
Holding a fucking grudge.
We'll be back with another episode next week, which will be available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or insteadof.fm. We'd love if you reviewed us, and I recommend a 15% lower rating than Matt Bogart's podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at insteadof.fm, where you can send us listener questions or learn Mike's marathon bib number. Thanks for listening. So, I had a hell of a night last night. There is something wrong with the fire alarm system in my building as of yesterday. My building's fire alarm has gone off 6 times in the last like 28 hours. And 4 of those happened after midnight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we just like it's so, so loud because it's like a building-wide alarm system. So they have the things that are like embedded into the walls. It's not like something that you can just, you know, unscrew and...
No, it's nothing you can do, right?
And my cat gets terrified and like goes under the bed, and Sammy had to wake up for work at like 5 in the morning or something. It was terrible. And so my question to you, real quick, instead of a blaring fire alarm, what would be the most pleasing sound that they could replace that with that would still wake you up and get you out of the house?
That's a great question, and I will answer it, but... let the record also show that an apartment that Josh used to live in burned down.
It didn't burn down. It caught on fire.
Okay, cool. But just so that the record shows that. A pleasing sound that could wake me up.
This is like a classic question. Like, what do you pick for your alarm sound?
You know how like those super rich kings and queens would get awoken by like someone playing the flute? I would love that.
You just want like total... aristocracy. Just give me the most expensive.
Well, not, but the songs they're playing are like flute covers of like metal songs. Oh, that'd be so nice.
I think I would take, see, I have a real problem like taking it seriously when I wake up, because my I have a window that like I have a very large window, but like the sun, like it, nothing covers it. It doesn't work. Like, it doesn't come down if you pull the sheet down. So like I wake up at 5 a.m. every day, and I would choose, I just need to know that everything's gonna be okay when I wake up.
Do you want like Bobby McFerrin playing?
Yeah, I want like Bobby. I want like Cat Stevens or just like something just like, hey man, like everything's cool. Like, don't worry about it. Like, hey man, oh, it's gonna be all right.
Dude, what if you're the reason for morning has broken? That's you.
All I want to, yeah, that's all I want to know.
Cat Bogart, 15% better than Mike Bogart. Cat is our new Bogart. Sorry, Matt. Matt has been replaced by Cat.
Dude, you know what's 15% better?
What?
Doug Stevens.